Whilst we had been checking on Susan Wilden's room at 1842 North Cherokee, Eddie Bellows had been busy trying to find Lucy Whitehall. He dropped in on Audrey Anders' villa at Manhattan Beach, only to find out that she wasn't at home, but Cohen men were, keeping an eye on the place. He spoke to Clay Atkins, who I knew worked as one of Mickey's button men. He said that Audrey had been sent into hiding after the release of Louis DeSanio from prison. DeSanio was one of the goons who worked for Jack Dragna, the head of the Sicilian Mafia on the West Coast. DeSanio was, by all accounts, a nasty piece of work, and one of psycho Bobby DeWitt's crew. DeSanio was imprisoned in 1947 on white slavery charges. He'd been luring underage girls from county foster homes into vice. It was Audrey that had dropped the dime on DeSanio and got Louis charged and sent to jail on a 5-year bit, but he'd been released early in the middle of August. Atkins also knew that Audrey and Lucy both worked at the Hotel Vienna Bordello during the war, and Audrey was DeWitt's girl, even though he'd physically abused her. Audrey engineered an escape to Mickey Cohen's protection after reaching out to Edward Nettie Herbert and feeding information on Dragna and DeWitt's operations. DeWitt had been in San Quentin since 1944 for an assault on a waiter at the L.A. Biltmore, who had brought him the wrong type of soup. He'd been out since June, but apparently under Dragna's orders, he'd laid low and been told that Audrey was protected and off-limits. Eddie then spoke to Cohen captain Johnny Stampinato, who revealed her whereabouts at a Cohen bungalow in Laurel Canyon. Eddie headed back to Katz's office as Michael caught a break with his pornographer contacts, and the pair headed into Hollywood to meet with the self-titled Picasso of Porn, Paulie Picasso. Paulie was a morbidly obese fetish filmmaker with an interest in Hispanic men and tying up women, and it was revealing. He was upset that a new crew had been cutting into his action with certain mob hotels in Las Vegas since the middle of 1948, specifically stag films for these low-rent venues, the Bellagio, the Sundown, and the Lucky Seven. They were seedy off-strip casino motels and hotels. Paulie said the films were gruesome viewing, even for him. The all-white girls looked underage and probably drugged, and were lookalikes for current movie stars like Betty Grable, Veronica Lake, and Rita Hayworth. They were bondage, rape, and torture flicks. He said he even believed that some of the girls were actually killed on film. He suggested that the films were made in Mexico, probably Tijuana, and that the production, camera, lighting, and makeup, costumes, etc., were Hollywood-level quality and surprisingly good. Now, remember the name Henry Winslow? Well, it didn't take long, and didn't take rocket science to connect the name of the professor who had collapsed at the L.A. County Museum to the one on Catherine Wilden's death certificate. So Baldwin and Fitzgerald headed back to the museum, intent on finding out more. Speaking to receptionist Sally Bowman, they established that Dr. Winslow collapsed and was in a catatonic state at the Shady Acres Hospital in Pasadena. The duo then checked out Winslow's office after John managed to pick the lock, and they searched the place. On the wall of Winslow's office, there was a map of Thailand, with a chain of islands to the west of Bangkok, circled in red. Roger thought these were the Andaman Islands. On Winslow's desk, they found a death notification from the Boston Globe for a certain Mrs. Catherine Winslow, well, knew who she was, and a set of customs documents for 62 crates of artifacts shipped from Bangkok and dated to February the 14th, 1949, owned by the Pacific Oil Corporation. They were located at Warehouse 149 at the Port of Los Angeles. In Winslow's desk, they found a .455 Webley Mark VI revolver and a handwritten letter in German addressed to Professor Winslow and signed by Dr. Hans Schmidt, dated 14th of June, 1949. Neither John or Roger read German, though, they resolved to take it to Katz, for whom German was a second language. At the same time this was going on, I met up with my former LAPD colleague, Detective Mal Considine, who I had dropped a few bucks to get a review of Susan Wilton's record and some info on Eddie Bellows via his car license. Susan Wilton had a record for being fined for being possession of weed and heroin from October 1948, although the arresting vice detective, Louis Bernardo, believed she wasn't a heroin user herself and was holding it for somebody else. In February 1948, Susan was arrested at a raid on a party at Robert Mitchum's pad and charged with soliciting. Nathan Archer represented her in court and got the charge dropped. As for Eddie, he was an outer circle guy in Cohen's outfit, definitely under Johnny Stomp's wing. Even though he was a gangster, I have to say I kind of liked the guy. Later that evening, I went with Eddie to Audrey Anders' hideout in Laurel Canyon. After getting past the considerable protection detail laid on by Cohen, we met Audrey. I immediately understood why Mickey had taken a shine to her. She was no ordinary mob moll. A beautiful redhead with bedroom eyes and curves in all the right places. It seemed she had brains as well as beauty. Audrey gave us the following information. Lucy was staying with her boyfriend, Tommy Stefakis, in his place above the Vine restaurant in Encino. Stefakis was one of three brothers who had come to the U.S. from Greece after the war. They were full-time restaurateurs and part-time wannabe movie producers. In the war, they had fought the Nazis as part of the Greek resistance, and had been known as razor men, people who specialized in slicing throats and opening arteries in a flash of a straight-edge razor blade. Audrey confirmed that she knew Susan Wilton, although said she was not as close to Susan as Lucy was, and there was an implication that Lucy and Susan had an affair. Lucy and Susan met regularly at the Pacific Dining Car, downtown. This 24/7 venue was known as a notorious spot for addicts to meet their dealers. Audrey and Lucy had trained Susan to strip dance. Audrey used her influence to get Susan slots at private parties among the rich and jaded. She said that Susan had quit that life after going to work for Laura Swan. Audrey didn't remember when she had met Laura, but that it was probably at one of the private parties that Susan worked at. We left Audrey's place and went our separate ways, thinking that we at least had found Lucy, although Susan Wilton's whereabouts were still unknown.